Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
In the Green Scene today, why in nature the male being larger than the female is not necessarily the norm. But first, animals who mourn and actually bury their dead. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we have, I think, all been aware that elephants do, in a way, mourn their dead.
Yeah, I mean, people have probably seen videos of elephants standing around a deceased elephant and expressing, I suppose, what we might consider to be grief of a kind. And again, it's not maybe that surprising for anyone who spends time with animals. But this is a new story that's just come out about Indian elephants. And again, there were stories for many decades of Indian elephants not just grieving around a dead elephant, but possibly also burying them. But there was no evidence of this up until last year, or actually in 2022. And it was a member of the Forest Service in India found a 1-year-old female calf that appeared to have been buried. So it was found in an irrigation trench on a tea plantation in Bengal, and its body was upside down in the trench, covered with earth, with only its feet exposed. And when they looked at this little calf, they found that she had died of a respiratory illness, so she hadn't died as a result of falling into the trench. And in fact, when they looked at her body, she had clearly been dragged to that place. So that is not where they believe she actually died. And what they noticed after that, they found a number of other calves, 4 others that were buried in a very similar fashion around this area. And they found that the elephants avoided the trails after they had perhaps buried a calf. So this is just very interesting because it adds to the sort of stories that we have about this complex behaviour in elephants. And that may be preparing for birth in a herd, or perhaps now even having rituals around death.
Now, obviously, for the elephant with its trunk, a limited tool, shall we say, and their big feet, limited, you know, they don't have claws, they have toenails like we have toenails. So digging a grave might be very difficult for them. So they find an already dug trench.
Exactly. I mean, they find these trenches. And of course, look, we've never seen this happen, so we don't know for sure what's going on. But certainly the evidence points to it. And they're not entirely unique in the animal kingdom at having some behaviours that we might describe as grief or rituals around death. And of course, for very, you know, simpler animals like maybe insects, ants who live in colonies, I mean, they will either remove deceased ants from the nest, or, you know, they may also bury them. But I mean, I suppose scientists think that may be to do with trying to get infection out of an area, or, you know, trying to keep the nest clean.
And obviously, with, a badger in a set, if there's a deceased badger in the set, maybe it's been injured by a car or whatever, and it crawls home to die, it'll be left outside the set. It'll be pulled outside the set.
Yes, and you could argue that that's a sort of very natural, instinctual response just to remove a body. But I think when it comes to things like elephants, I mean, we've seen these were Indian elephants, but with African elephants, they do what we call a weak burial, where we have observed them covering particularly a dead calf with maybe branches and leaves to cover the body of a baby elephant. But again, anyone who has had a dog, I mean, there's actually been surveys of pet owners, and there was a survey of over 200 dog owners, and they found if you had 2 pets and one of them died, you know, the owner could clearly pick up on behavioural changes in the remaining pet, which they would ascribe to grief. So, you know, maybe seeking extra attention or being off their food, you know, things that they would recognize.
Pining.
Just pining, exactly. Yeah. And I think we've all even heard stories of pets pining for their owners when they pass away. You know, there's stories of crows as well, you know, which we've talked about before as very intelligent creatures. They tend to gather around. It's actually called a crow funeral when they gather around sort of a fallen colleague, and it's almost like they're trying to work out what's gone on. There's evidence of dolphins also trying to keep people away from a deceased dolphin. They won't let anybody come near a dolphin that has died.
And in the primates?
Well, the primates, again, not surprising, but chimps are known, particularly again when a baby dies, a mother chimp will carry that baby around for days and weeks with her. So we're certainly not alone in feeling it, I think, when one of our kind leaves.
Now, we want to move on to a different topic, the size of males and females. This now, in the human species, it's, I think, the norm that men are bigger than women.
It's the norm, it is, and it's really been considered the norm in all mammals for about 150 years in a very sort of unchallenged way. And it's an idea that comes from Charles Darwin from over 150 years ago from his book, The Descent of Man. And it was this idea that, you know, men needed to be tough, or males needed to be tough. They needed to fight to get the opportunity to mate. Females could be more diminutive. And that was just accepted as the norm. It was called sexual size dimorphism. But in fact, a group of researchers in Princeton and the City University of New York decided to have a look at this. And they went and looked at 429 species of mammals. And you could argue they looked at some of the ones that maybe don't jump to mind. I mean, as you say, we will often think of carnivores and primates and things when we think about mammals. But they also looked at things like rodents and bats. And they didn't just look at a male and a female in each species. They looked at nine individuals for each species. So, of course, there was some variation within the species as well. And what they found was that that concept is really wrong. Only in 45% of cases were the males bigger.
Consistently bigger,
exactly. In 16% of cases, the females were consistently bigger. And actually, in nearly 40%, there was no difference at all. So this really turns a paradigm on its head. I mean, there's so many probably biology textbooks which tell us that in mammals, males are bigger. But it appears that they aren't.
Now, which species were the females inevitably bigger than the males?
So in things like bats and rodents, these were ones where a lot of the time we found that females were bigger. In rabbits and hares, that was another one where females were bigger.
And is there any science as to why that might be the case?
Well, there may be. I mean, certainly with the bats particularly, obviously bats, flying mammals, quite unusual. And to be able to carry around young, that is one thing that the female bats do have to do. So arguably being a bit bigger might be helpful in that. But I mean, in general, if you think about having to produce milk and transport young, that's a lot of what mammals are going to do. And for those smaller mammals that do that, like rodents, I mean, rabbits don't, but obviously having to defend their young or move them around, you would need the female to be larger. So that could be what is going on here in the cases where the females are larger.
Probably the evidence was in front of our eyes. Now, if you look in the fields, you'll see the bull inevitably bigger than the cow. I think that's a given.
Yes, yes.
But the horses, you might not be able to tell very easily which are the males and which are the females out in the fields.
Well, exactly. You often can't. And actually, I mean, if you take sort of a wild relative of the horse, the zebra, you really can't tell at all. I mean, obviously, we've selectively bred horses and stallions. And again, that might be why we have some of these misconceptions in our heads. And certainly when a male is bigger, it tends to be a lot bigger. So, you know, on average, if the male was bigger, it was 30% bigger, whereas if the female was bigger, it was only 10% bigger. So it was harder to spot when the female was
bigger. Okay, what's the biggest disparity? The biggest male versus female, or the biggest female versus male?
Anyone that's watched a bit of David Attenborough won't be surprised that it is the massive elephant seal. You know, you've seen these videos where they slap against each other. So there, the male can be up to 3 times bigger than the female. They're absolutely enormous compared to the male. So that's the biggest. But it's not always the boys that are the biggest.
You know, does size actually offer any advantage at all?
Well, I think it does when it comes to maybe fighting. But I think this challenges a lot of our ideas that really we've just accepted as biologists for 150 years. So we have to go and think about it a bit more.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating study indeed. And I'm just thinking, did you say which was the female that was anyway significantly larger than the male?
Well, rabbits and hares, which we have
the
around us here. We've never spotted them, yeah, under our noses.
Ruth, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.